If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to James chapter 4. We'll be talking this evening just kind of on a practical plane, if you will. So in James chapter 4, we see, let me get where I'm going so I don't stand up here. James chapter 4, 13 through 17. And we're going to be talking about this evening just about ignoring God. This is a very easy thing to do. So we'll talk about it. It's pretty easy when someone willfully ignores God and they won't hear the word, they won't hear the teaching of God, but we can fall into ignoring God a lot easier than we think we can. And we'll talk a little bit about this today. But in James chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Talk about a little bit higher calling here as we go about looking at our text this evening. We see first that when we begin to hear the Word of God, there's all these warning signs that we have that are before us. We have a number of folks starting to drive among us, and I want to encourage them to pay attention to the warning signs and watch out and do all those things. But it's no less important for Christians. The Bible is full of warning signs, because as we're driving through life and we get so comfortable behind that wheel, what do we start doing behind the wheel? Daydreaming. Right? Oh. Right? Eating. I mean, putting on makeup. All these things are not really designed to be behind the wheel, are they? And so, we as Christians also are not designed to be distracted as we're walking and going through life. And it can happen. And we, unfortunately, can fall into ignoring God very easily. So we end up making choices and doing different things that really are not of God's will. And you might say, well, that's those unsaved people. Well, no. What about me as a pastor? And I can, if I'm not careful, begin to ignore God in the calling that I have. How does that happen? Well, that's true, but here's the way this takes place in a simple way, right? I've been to seminary. I've made countless sermons, reading. I understand. I got all these books, all this stuff, right? So I begin to fall into that preparing sermons and preparing to teach based upon all that I know. And all that I can come up with, and all that's in the books, and all that's in all that stuff. And so rather than spending time praying, talking, listening, relationship-wise, I'm over here working. I'm over here doing what I'm doing. And pretty soon, I've ignored God and doing for Him what He's asking me to do, right? It happens the same way with our wives or our husbands. I become so enamored with being a husband. To be a good husband, I got to make a living, and I got to keep the yard mowed, and I got to do the house, all that, keep up all that stuff. And pretty soon, I've lost the relationship with my wife. I'm ignoring my husband while I'm being the good wife. But That's not what he wants. He wants a relationship. She wants a relationship. God wants a relationship. So if I'm not careful, I fall into that ignoring God because I begin to rely on my own abilities and those habitual things that I fall into. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, let me get where I'm supposed to be here. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession." Now, my profession is to you that I have a relationship with the Lord, I follow the Lord, and he guides me into those things that I'm preaching and teaching and doing here at this church, right? But if I'm not careful, then that becomes from "thus saith Tim" and not "thus saith the Lord." And it's very subtle. I might preach the same things, but the problem is, rather than have that confirmed by the Lord, I prepare this and I deliver it to you. That's what we're talking about. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Okay, now that I've been at this about 20 years, I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to deliver a good sermon. I can do that. You see what we're talking about? Pretty soon I begin to ignore God. "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When's our time of need? There's not a time that we don't have need. And that's the subtlety of beginning to ignore God. I'm always in need of God being my high priest, being my guide, being my comforter, being the... And in my weakness, he then would lead. So it doesn't matter where you are in life, what you're going to do, the opportunities that you have to begin to ignore God are pretty high. In Proverbs 1, if you would turn to Proverbs real quick, then we're going to get back over to James. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity?" Right? So wisdom is always crying out. We're the ones that fall into ignoring those things that the Lord would have set before us. So it's important that we always are cognizant of what we are planning, what we are doing, and how that affects the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we start here in James chapter 4 and verse 13, we see some plans being made. And these plans are, I'm going to go to this city or that city, and I'm going to do business. And we're going to invest and we're going to get gain. Okay? So I ask you, what's wrong with that? Now let's read that again. James chapter 4. Verse 13. It says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Is there anything inherently wrong with that? Right. What they're saying here is not wrong. There's nothing inherently wrong with doing business. There's nothing inherently wrong with figuring out where you're going to go do business and what business you're going to do and all those things. In fact, the Bible actually instructs us to do that. Which of you, which intend to build a tower, do not first, right, lay that tower out, figure the cost, count the cost, lest you cannot finish that tower. And so we see here that inherently there's nothing wrong with this. Bobby had the right answer. It's not that they're doing anything wrong. It's that they are ignoring the most important part of their life, which is allowing God to be first and confirm the things that I'm hoping to be able to do. That's super important. Christianity, we say and we believe, is a relationship with the Lord. And everything that I do at this point, I'm supposed to share with Him, do that for His honor and His glory. And then He gives those good gifts that come from that right relationship with the Lord. That's what we have as a disciple of Christ. That's what we say. I want the Lord to be first in my life. And that's what we're talking about. Look at Mark chapter 35. Hold your finger there. Mark chapter 3, verse 35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. So basically what he's saying here is those who are willing to do the things that I lead them to do, they are my family. They are my kin. They are the ones whom I have that family relationship with. And that's so, we see this all through Scripture. Psalm 40, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. Psalm 143:10, teach me to do your will. And it goes on, John 4:34, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. So we, even if we're taking Christ as our example, He, in the work that He had, never ignored the Father. He always went alone. He always prayed to the Father. He spent time with the Father. He never ignored the One and began to focus more on the object or the objective for which He came than He did the relationship with the Father. That's what we have to be careful about as we, as Christians, go through this life. When you talk about this, you understand that here in James chapter 4 and 13, this would be well known to the Jews because the Jews were good investors. They were good money. They've always been a part because they held their money according to biblical standards, according to God's standards. So a lot of Jews were in that business of trade. And they would, when a city would spring up along whatever trade route it was, they would go there and they would set up business, and those roads would may be a crossroads or they may be a port city or it may be whatever it was, and they would understand the best place for them to set up business, and they would go there and they would do business, right? And so this is not foreign. It's the same thing that we do today. We look at different places and we say, okay, that place right there would be a good place for whatever business that is. It may be these travel stores seem to be coming up everywhere. But they don't just put them anywhere. They put them in a very strategic place so they catch the most traffic flow. And it allows folks to come, get a drink, all these quick stop things and all that, right? So there's a reason behind it. And that's what's happening here in verse 13, strategizing businessmen would set out to do these trades in basically hotspots. So that, as they were talking about this, they had a good business plan. They really did. But like Bobby said, the thing that they did was they forgot what Christ instructed him, verse 15. But that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. How many ever made plans in your life about what you were going to do? And how close did that turn out in the end? Right? Because the Lord has a different view than what you had. Most of you know my testimony. And you understand that you can lay out a plan. And if it's not in God's will, He has the ability to turn that spigot off, close that door, and open this spigot over here, and open that door. And in doing that, if you're open to the leading of the Lord, you begin to say, okay, Lord, not my will, but your will. Then when you get a little further down the road, you can look back and say, wow, if I would have been doing what I decided to do, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish this, and He still gave me this for what, close to what I had planned, which is, in my case, it was, I was going into cabinet business. Well, that's not what the God, He didn't allow me to do that. The only cabinets I ever built was Mom and Dad's house. Because right behind that, some folks, Deborah's brother, came along and said, hey, make these treadmill decks. So I put all my cabinet stuff in the corner, and I started building treadmill decks. But what that's allowed me to do over this period of time is not have such a tug on my time that I was able then to fulfill what the Lord had me to do in ministry. So when I look back, I see this, gosh, if I would have ignored God in that, then I wouldn't have had the blessings that God has given. So that ignoring of God, there are a lot of signs of a person who is ignoring God's will. If you look here in verse 13, there's plenty, and it says, go to now and say, today or tomorrow. Now, how many of you choose the time that you're going to do exactly what you want to do? Right? It just doesn't work that way. That's not the way life is. You may have a desire to go a certain way, and the Lord would give you that, but it will be in His timing, which is Isaiah's wait upon the Lord. So He don't want to deny you those things, but He knows more than you know about you. He knows you may not be ready to receive the gifts that He has, therefore you're not going to get it. I'm not going to buy my 14-year-old a car because they're not ready to have it. And the Lord also knows our hearts, and He might be saying, you're not ready for that. So I'm going to withhold that from you. If you're patient and you'll walk with me, and you'll wait for me, you'll get your heart's desire, but it'll be under the guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're hoping for. So here they are, they're choosing their own day. It says they put little emphasis on the Lord's timing. And I can tell you, the Lord's timing is impeccable. He doesn't give it early, and He's never too late. Okay. Second, we'll go to such a city. They're choosing the place. When you choose the place, what have we left God out of? Now, I could have said, I'm using myself as an example a lot just because I could have said, I don't really want to be a pastor at Harmony. It's been a little old podunk church out in the middle of the woods forever. It's probably going to always be that. If I really want to be successful, then I probably need to be able to go somewhere else with a good location, because you can't even see this church from the road. That's the way people think. That's not the way God thinks. And I can promise you, I never thought we would be with the blessings that God has blessed this church with. And I assure you, it's not because I did anything. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ saw a work that needed to be here, and He was just looking for willing people to let Him do it. And that's what we're talking about. I didn't choose. He chose the place to be the blessing. He also chose that timetable, right? And continue there a year. And many of us make these plans. Okay, I'm going to give this business this amount of time. If it's not successful by that time, I'm going to do something else. And then they say, okay, I start a new business, and I'm going to give this business this amount of time. So they spend their whole life starting and never following through, never allowing what they did here for the Lord to build on here and build on here and build on here. And because of that, there's no longevity. A pastor that's not a pastor more than 3 years never even gets going in the ministry. I hate to say that. Which is the average amount of time for a pastor? That's how long the average pastor stays at a church, 3 to 5 years. Well, you don't really even become a pastor for 3 years. You're really just a preacher. Because you don't know, you haven't gone through life's issues with people, you haven't loved and seen the hardships. And so it's only at that time that all those relationships begin to build. And that's what he's talking about. We're going to give this a year. Well, what about the Lord? Well, how long does he want you there? And then we're going to buy and sell. So we understand this operation that we're going to do. The operation is, I'm going to buy and sell. Well, how about manufacture? Maybe you have something you can manufacture. Maybe you're better at that. Nope. I don't want to get into hard work. I just want someone else to do it. Let me get it and sell it. And then all is done. Well, that's not what God made for me. It's better if... Okay, then if this last one is, and get gain. Now, there's a little bit of the problem too, right? What is their heart's desire? Make money. What is God's desire for everything you do? For Him to be glorified. So if you're in business, your number one thing is to make money, you're ignoring God. And because of that, your business will plateau out. And now He might allow that, but then you have to ask yourself, as a child of God, am I even in His will at all? For He chastises whom He loves. At some point, He's going to bring me back into not ignoring Him. It might be through that the way or what I'm the object of what I'm trying to accomplish, right? So, and what we're talking about here is how I pursue the very goals of my life. The young people, y'all all have goals. You all have these things that, boy, when I get to this place, I'd like to be doing this. This is what I'd like to do for a career. And it's so easy for us to fall into, this is what I want. But here, what is being said is, it's okay to want those things. But you have to make sure that God is at the forefront, leading you to the place that you're supposed to go. And as we look into this, it's so easy to fall into ignoring His desires in my life. There's plenty of folks who believe that God exists, but He's not included in their plans. Okay? If God put on my heart that I have this business and a certain amount of money that I make in this business should be used for the kingdom, in whatever way that is, I have a friend of mine who owns a treadmill building business. They build treadmills. And in conjunction with his business, they have a number of places that homeless men can stay. But a part of that, them staying there, is they work in the business. Now, I assure you, he doesn't make any money off of these men, okay? His business funds them to stay there, and then He brings them in, gives them a work ethic, gives them a way back into earning, and then they can go on for themselves, helping them help themselves. That's what he's trying to do. So he's made the object of his business to be able to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by helping these men get back in the good graces of Christ. And a part of that is Bible study, all the things that you would think that a person would do. That's the way his business is set up. So he's been doing that for a number of years. The fatal flaw that this person here in James 4 made is presumption. I presume that the plans I make will come to bear. Now, if you're not careful, that means you're omniscient. But we're just saying, I don't know about tomorrow. That means I'm omnipotent. I'm powerful enough to see my plans through. No, you're not. James says your life is but a vapor. It comes today and it's gone tomorrow. And all these plans that I made that kept me ignoring God are the problems that have affected me all the way into eternity. So you see how important what we're talking about is this evening. There's an illustration of this in Luke chapter 12. Turn over there. Y'all all know this, Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Man, I got so much stuff, I don't even know where to put it. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool. What is a fool? The fool says in his heart, what? There is no God. So I think that's a pretty good description. One who doesn't think there's a God, that's foolish. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? All of these things that I had, all of these plans and working for it. Man, when I get this done, I'm going to be able to kick back and relax. And what does he say? Thou fool. Because in practicality, he's an atheist. Now, he might believe there's a God, but practically speaking, he's not allowing God to determine anything about his life. So in practical nature, he's saying God has no ability. Really, I can make as good a decision as God can. So you see how important it is for us to fall before God and ask and pray that he would understand and know what's on my heart, and does he confirm and agree that where I'm going is the right way. Now, that, I know this takes a little time. Proverbs 27, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. That's why we sang, I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. All those things that I've worked for. What does godliness, when it is paired with what, is great gain? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And this man here in Luke, he really wasn't content. Now, let me ask you a question here. Knowing the way these things go, after he tore all those barns down and he built all these other barns and they got full, what do you think he would do? He'd be in that same cycle. Godliness with contentment is great gain. At some point, we have to ask this question. How much is enough of the world? Now, I want you to understand, there's nothing wrong with having riches. There's nothing wrong with being in business. There's nothing wrong with any of those. Abraham was a very rich man. But when you read in Hebrews 11, why was Abraham saved? By faith. Not by any of those things. And whatever the Lord asked him to do. And he failed. He failed on those things. Don't get me wrong. But he always came back to the Lord. He always walked with the Lord. Illustration in this little study that came about, and I thought it was kind of neat. If you take 10 pennies and you mark them 1 through 10, 1, 2, 3, all the way to 10, you put them in a box, okay? So your goal is to take those same pennies out of that box, 1 through 10, in order. So you reach in there, you get the first penny. Then you put it back, you shake it up, you reach in there, out comes the penny that's marked 2. And you do that. And each time until you get to the 10th penny, what are the odds that you're going to get every penny right, 1 through 10, when you draw it, put it back in there? What are the odds that you're going to get all 10 pennies? 1 in 1,010,000,000. Okay. So if you can't even handle pennies in a box, what are the odds that you're going to handle life with all the variables that are out there in life? I mean, it's just that when you begin to understand that, just as a Christian, it drives you to knowing how much we need the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing how much I can't ignore Him. I must stand and walk with Him. And in doing that, because He knows the ending from the beginning, because He's Alpha and Omega, because He knows all of those things, then we can have a life that makes sense, that brings contentment. Now let me ask you a question here. It might be this. Lord, I want to go to this city and I want to do this business, and I would really care that we stay here about this time, and it's for this, and you know, because I love you, this will also fund those things of your kingdom, right? That's the way we operate. And he said, okay, go. Yeah, my hand of blessing is on you, and you go. And you get over there, and you go bankrupt. Is that God's chastisement? What would you call that? No, he listened to God. God would say, you live in a fallen world. Bad things happen. And you're going to suffer sometimes. Love me anyway. Trust me anyway. Right? Is that not what happened? It's the same scenario as, Lord, I love you. I'm saved. I'm walking with you. And the phone rings and it's the doctor and he says, you've got cancer. It's the same thing. And we don't want to think that because we're Christians that we are going to escape those temptations and those hardships in life that come with a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Bad things are going to happen. And so when that happens, how do we react? We react in faith. That's what Abraham did. That's what David did. That's what all of the characters that you see in Hebrews chapter 11, that's what they did. They reacted in faith. And for us to think nothing's bad is going to happen to us in this world is a misnomer. It's unbiblical. It's not even what Christ said. All the way back in the oldest book in the Bible, what does it say? Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. And Job had all these things, rich. And what happened to him? The Sabbateans came, the Nabateans came, stole all his livestock. Tornadoes came, blew his houses, killed his children. He had all of these boils. He had all these illnesses. All his friends basically said, Job, I know you sinned or you wouldn't be having these troubles. I mean, goodness gracious. Is that the way we should? Yeah. Though he slay me, yet will I worship him. He never ignored God, even though he was going through all of those things. And the reason being is, first off, we are ignorant of tomorrow. We don't have an ideal of what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't have an ideal of what's going to happen in 15 minutes. I laid down to go to sleep, and in 5 minutes, our trailer house blew to a million pieces. I had no idea that was going to happen, right? I was going to go to Lufkin and work and make money and support my family. And in 5 minutes, everything you were working for was gone. That's the way it was with Job. So we don't know. And also, life is fragile. One of the things I was talking to the boys about last night is in this movie, End of the Spear, they were working with the Wadani people to try to bring them to the Lord. And one was not receptive, right? He had this little girl, so he just took her and took her to the river. Now, I didn't really see this the first time. It didn't click with me. But she was in a little canoe, and she was sitting on the edge, and some of the other guys were there. And a boa, or whatever they are there, basically snatched her off the edge of that boat and she was gone immediately. And I thought, my, how fragile life is. And based on a true story, so my assumption is that probably took place. But the fragileness of life, we don't always understand in our heart. We think, yeah, I know it's bad, but that's not going to happen to me. The Lord won't let that happen to me. Well, it might. It might happen to you. And so be careful. Always stay in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I talk about being or ignoring Christ, I'm not just talking about the person who willfully ignores Christ. I'm talking about us who walk daily with the Lord, who fall into those habits and the thing. Why do you go to church? Well, that's just what we do on Sunday. Well, in a sense, that's ignoring God. And there's a whole host of other of those that we do. It's far too easy for us to do. And we can prepare all of these things in life that outwardly people would say, oh, yeah, man, he's a godly man. But in the heart, if it were to be exposed, you would see that, not really. He's doing this for accolades, or he's doing that of his own. He's just good at what he does. He's a good speaker. He's good this, whatever it is, and he's kind of ignored God. We never want to get to that place. Two verses, we'll be finished. Matthew 7:21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the greatest thing he wants from you? Obedience. To do the will of the Father. Not all these sacrificial things that's so hard for you to do. Just be obedient to the Lord. And then Matthew chapter 19. Verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. What's he talking about? He said it's harder for a rich man to get to heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. What did the apostles ask him? Well, then who can be saved? Then who can get to heaven? And he said, with God, all things are possible. Why? Because riches are of no consequence, but what they are temptations to ignore God. And if you'll not ignore God, then through Christ you get to heaven. That's the way all, rich or poor, get to heaven. Questions or comments? Can you understand what we're talking about this evening? How subtle it is? It's not the major things, it's the subtleness of our ignoring. And over time, it just becomes second nature. And we don't see the beauty and the wonder and all that. Remember when you was dating your wife? Oh, man, the beauty and the wonder. You couldn't wait to get down there to be with her. And then 42 years later, if you haven't worked on it, if you've lost that, your relationship is not where it should be. Now, it's going to change. It's going to be different. But man, it can be really, really good. And that's the way Christ wants. Your relationship with Christ will change from the time you're saved until you meet Him face to face. That progressive sanctification. You'll know Him, love Him more and more and more. And that's what He desires. Questions or comments? Okay. I think they have an understanding of morality, and that comes from being written on the heart. As far as believing in God, they'll die and go to hell without that, and some never do, Rayburn. So to say that they believe in God is not, it's different from accepting Him as Savior. That's because, you know, James says, you do well to believe in the one true God. The demons also believe and tremble, but they don't, but they're not saved. So to believe there's a God is different than to believe in Christ as my Savior. If you could answer that question, brother, you'd be the evangelist of all evangelists, okay? All right. I understand what you're saying, but there's probably not a good answer to that. If Jesus died for you and He says, I died for you, do you think it is beyond His understanding of why they won't believe? Of course, He can understand it, but you and I can't. Anyone else? Yeah, absolutely. When you see the person that, you know, the two men who were forgiven, one forgiven a lot, and then he would forgive the one who owed him a small amount. You ask, well, I mean, if he was given so much, why didn't that spur him to forgive? Because the Lord wasn't in his heart. Absolutely. Randy? Yeah. Absolutely. He hasn't at that point probably given us the desire of our heart. And that doesn't mean He hadn't given us what we wanted. That means He hadn't put the desire and fixed our want to truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. These are not easy things I'm talking about, by the way. These are not just frivol things, right? Because all of us deal with these every day. Anything else? So, all you who are fixing to start driving, don't ignore the warning signs. Would you stand and we'll be dismissed.